Please be seated, everybody, and take out your Bibles. I'm going to be over here today, if that's all right with you. We've got a few technical difficulties, but we're sorted out now with Chris's help. Good job. We always rely on Chris. Eventually, we need to call on Chris, is usually the way things work. We try our best. Chris comes along and presses the right button. But it's great to welcome you all here today. I want to welcome you if it's, as James says, your first time or your 100th or your 1,000th time. I want to welcome you if you're visiting with us today. Welcome you if you're studying the Bible and if you're learning more about the truth, learning more about God today. It's really great to welcome you here. We're in here out of the cold and the wet and the rain, and that's great, isn't it? That we can be together and we can feel the warmth of our fellowship, the warmth of the room, and that we're going to hear the warmth of God's word as well today. Today is the final class of the personal spiritual development series that we've been speaking about over the last few weeks. And really it's the ultimate and the obvious culmination of such a series. Because we've got to remember what our goal is. Our goal is to become more like Christ. And as we can read in Psalm chapter 1, which is what we're basing the series upon, that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He then is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Our goal is to become more like Christ, as James says. And we're on a journey, and we're going to have struggles and trials along the way, but that's our goal. And ultimately we'll be in union with Christ and with God. If we continue on this route, if we continue planted, and as Psalm 1 here alludes to the planting being by the stream, if we remain planted by God's word and receive the nutrients of God's word, then we will grow healthy. We will be like that tree. We will yield fruit in season. We will have green and healthy leaves. And whatever we do will prosper. We will bear fruit in the correct season. On Wednesday, on Friday evening, we had a class and we talked about masks. And it was the last of the classes before this one in this series. And it talked about how to be genuine and talked about putting away the things which hide what's really going on. And only then, when we can put those masks away and throw them away and burn them so that you can never put them on again, only then can you truly grow. Because someone really needs to understand where they are standing before God before they can progress. You need to know where you're starting from. And so today we have the final lesson, but I just wanted to remind you of what we've talked about, and I appreciate Ali also preaching a class on this series as well. Ali's lesson from last week is on the website, been on the website most of the week, so if anybody wasn't around like me and wants to hear that, then please go along and access the website and hear his class. But we've had classes on the attitude of gratitude, being grateful, and how that can really change our outlook on life. We've had classes on discovering and using our gifts. We've had classes on considering the things that our minds focus on, and how when we focus on the wrong things, it can really influence the way we live our lives. We've had classes which focus on the need for vulnerability, the need for people to really know us, so that we can be known by someone. And we've had classes as well on about glorying in our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses, amen? We all have strengths as well. But it's important to have the right perspective on what we are weak in as well. We had classes on, I think it was Ali that preached on building spiritual habits last week. And on Wednesday we spoke about taking off our masks. All of those classes are on the website. So if you want to access any of those classes, if any of those you think you're interested in listening to, then please go along to the website and listen to those. But today we're going to look at the culmination, the result of all these classes, the result of working on all these things, the results of understanding and applying these principles. We will look at the natural byproduct, and that is having an outward focus and sharing Jesus with others. Isn't that the natural byproduct of what we of our lives, of growing and of changing? Because if you have something great in your life, something great to share about, then you just want to share about it with everyone else. If you have something that has a great influence on you, then don't you want to talk about it? spiritual maturity means being outward focused. As we grow to be more like Jesus, we should love what Jesus loves. And we should love the people that Jesus loves. So being outward focused is being more like Christ. And we must realize, I think, that if we're not sharing what we have found with other people, then we aren't really spiritually mature. And we've still got some work to do to grow, to become more outward focused. Now, the things that we have learned in this series will help you to build a faith, to build your lives, enabling you to share with others about that. You know, being outward focused is one, in many ways, one of the most accurate markers of authentic spiritual growth. Douglas Cooper, in his book, Living God's Grace, said, "One who is learning to love Jesus more deeply will demonstrate it by loving those whom Jesus loves." It's not overstated, I don't think. I think the Great Commission is clear. Jesus, there's an expectation of us to be outward focused. It is a culmination. It's part of our faith. It's part of our maturing. It's part of our growth. Having a self-motivated willingness to share what you have found in Christ with other people. Just imagine for a moment, you're walking through the streets of Edinburgh and it's not raining. I know it's difficult to imagine that one. So you'll need to dig deep. Okay, imagine walking through the dry streets of Edinburgh and you come across this really amazing little box. It's just by the side of the road, just there on the curbside. And on the top of it it's got this amazing ornate carving of Celtic artwork. You know, those amazing Celtic signs you see. And it's so beautiful. And you can't help but pick it up because it's so beautiful. You think, well, what's this thing doing here? And you pick it up and you wonder what it is. And you realize it's a box. And it's a box with a lid. And so you think, well, let's see what's going on. And you take this lid off. And as you remove the lid, this amazing sound emanates from within the box. So when you put the lid back on, the sound stops. But then you take the lid off and this sound emanates. And you're really curious. So you take it home and you want to test it. You want to figure out, well, what is this box all about? And you begin to test it and you begin to realize it's actually, when you listen to the sound, you begin to feel better. Because as you live in Scotland, you've usually got a snuffle or a sniffle. And so the sound coming out of this box takes your cold away. And maybe you've got a bit of backache as well, and it takes away your backache, and you stand up and you begin to feel really, really fine. You begin to feel 15 again. And you think you can do anything. You can dunk at the basketball. You can run around in your feet. You think, wow, the sound that comes out of this box is a healing sound. And then you want to test it to make sure it works. So you find one of your friends, and one of your friends has got a cold or something wrong with them, and you take the lid off the box with them in their presence, and they can hear this sound. And this sound heals your friend as well. And you begin to realize that actually this sound has healing powers, not just for you, but for other people as well. And then you've tested it, and you begin to realize actually what's happening is, even though it's healing people, it's not losing any of its intensity. It's not losing any of its power. Actually, the sound and the power that within it is limitless. It never runs out. And what you've discovered is that actually the sound that comes out of this box can heal anybody that has any illness. All you've got to do is open the box and just show it to people. So you've got friends with cancer, and you go and see your friends with cancer, and you take the lid off that, and they're instantly cured. And you got a friend with a broken leg who broke it last week, and you take it along to them, and instantly they can walk around, and you think, this is an amazing thing. And then you put the lid back on the box. You take it back to your house. You find the most secure place in your house with a lock and a key. You put it in the room. It's dark in there. You put it in the dark room. You shut the door. You turn the key. You take the key out of the lock, and you throw it away. And you think, who cares about all the people that are ill around the world? All the people with sicknesses and all the people with diseases. I actually have the cure here, but I'm just not interested. I'm not going to help it. Sometimes when you don't feel too good, you take the box out yourself. You think, I've got about this and about that. I'll just get some of this healing power. But then you put the box back Maybe one of your closest friends comes along and says, you know what, remember that box you had? Well, actually, I've got this wrong with me. Can I have some of that healing sound? Okay, you get it out and you get the healing sound and the sound comes out of the box and they get better. But then you put the box back and you lock the door and you leave the box in the room. And there's so many thousands and billions of people around the world that could benefit from the sound coming out of your box, but you've hidden it. You don't get it out. You don't show it to anybody. Now, obviously, you know where I'm going with this, right? You figured out where I'm gonna get to. Deciding, even though we've got something so powerful, so amazing to cure man's spiritual diseases, which are the greatest problems for mankind, man's spiritual diseases, you've got the cure for that probably on your lap or on your PDF or on your iPad or whatever it is you're using. Roisin, is it an iPad today? When you realize you've got the power and then you decide yourself to say, well, you know what, I'm just going to keep it to myself. For me, it's that same sort of selfishness that if you had the cure for all the ailments in the world and you kept that to yourself, it has the same sort of selfish feeling towards it that I'm afraid sometimes we can decide to take that precious gift home and keep it to ourselves. You have something so amazing, so needed by humanity to help them to the relief from suffering from their spiritual illnesses, but you decide to keep it to yourself. I think I'm going to have to keep flicking over here. That's fine. So what is the gift? Well, the gift is God's love and God's saving grace through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's an amazing gift. It's an amazing gift that you have. It's an amazing gift. You see, even if somebody hears the sound in this box, they may like, you know, I don't even believe. And you tell them about it. I've got this box at home and I've got it in my room and all I've got to do is take the lid off this box and it'll heal anything that's wrong with you. And they go, you know what? I don't believe you. Because who would? I mean, who would believe you that you've got something like that? And you're just like, that's ridiculous. I don't believe you. In fact, I don't even want it. But what we've got to understand is that our lives should reflect the calling that we've been given. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 tells us that Paul writes that as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. You see, our lives as Christians are not meant to be kept to ourselves. We have a calling and a purpose so precious that it deserves to be shared. A life lived worthy of the calling. And when you live this kind of life, you cannot help share what it is that you have found. As a result of you sharing what you found, Jesus is glorified. Jesus is the one that gets all the glory because it's him that provides the cure for their spiritual diseases. It's him that changes our lives and it's him that changes their lives. And to Jesus' life, Jesus' power is limitless. And so when you're handing it out to your friends and when you're showing people the Bible and you're telling people about your lives, don't worry. The power will reach them too if they accept it. It has that power. It has the power to reach anybody that wants to accept the invitation. I was so excited last night just with Dennis. Dennis and I met with Leo last night in a table tennis room in the university. We had a little game of table tennis. I beat a Chinese man at table tennis. Something you mustn't understand, all Chinese people are not born natural tennis players. Okay? I didn't realize that until yesterday. But anyway, we played table tennis. But then we sat down with the Bible and we had an amazing time. We're just talking and really helping Leo, introducing Leo to Jesus and God's plan with us through Jesus and God's plan for the world and even God's plan for Leo. And Dennis and I, we were just getting very excited, weren't we? We were just fired up sharing this amazing thing that we've got this thing that we can share. Now we don't provide any solutions for Leo. We just say, Jesus can do all this for you. Let me show you the Bible. We don't have the answers ourselves, but we have the Bible. And we were sharing with Leo the verses in scripture and how God been on his case for years and how God wants him to know him. And yes, there's many choices of religions, but you know, just try this. And Jesus promises that if you try it, it will work. And Leo's so intrigued he's come today, and I'm encouraged by that. But we were so excited about sharing that amazing gift that God has already given to us. Jesus' invitation. The surety. Oh, hello, I've moved along. Sorry about this. Technology. The surety of that if Leo were to accept Jesus' invitation, of what would happen to his life was so exciting for us that actually there would be an amazing amount of changes that we would actually be a witness to. It was so very encouraging. It's easy to justify our selfishness though, isn't it? It's easier to say to ourselves that not everybody's going to want this gift. And if you've been a Christian for more than a few months, you'll know there are people out there that aren't interested. You'll know that there are people out there who don't want it or don't believe what you believe and aren't interested in what you've heard. And like I said, if they'd heard of a special sonic healing box, they'd probably feel the same way too. But ask yourself, where would you be today if someone hadn't taken the trouble to share the precious gift that they had with you? Ask yourself. Now, it's not a question to go off into the ether. Really ask yourself where you would be today if somebody hadn't taken the effort to share the gospel with you. What would your life be like? And I often say, I don't know if I'd be alive at this point. I had so little control of my sinful nature that it was just taking over. And either alcoholism or some sort of sexually transmitted disease, something like that would have killed me, I'm sure of it. So the difference between what my life would have been then and what it is now is amazing. Think for yourselves, where would your lives be if someone hadn't shared that with you? Now consider the millions and millions of people out there that are still the way you were before you became a Christian. Consider those people before they'd learnt about the precious gift that you learnt about and that you took on board. Psalms tells us in Psalm 126 verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. What an amazing psalm. Sowing in tears, being humble to the commands of God, being humble to Jesus' wish for us to be part of his great commission. It's a sacrifice. It takes effort. It's not something that many other people do. It's a sacrifice for it. So we're going to go out. We're going to sow in tears. But our sacrifice when we share Jesus with others it has an amazing result. It means that we will have joy which will lead to songs of praise. What would Sunday mornings be like if everybody spent their week just inviting 5-10 people every day, because you meet that many people every day, just invite that many people every day, come to church on a Sunday, what will the worship be like? Because we're told here that we'll return singing songs of joy. When we go out carrying seed to sow, we'll return with songs of joy, carrying the fruit with you. So often the song leaders, I love the song leaders, they just start with such zeal and such encouragement. You know what though, they're looking at you. They're singing and they're smiling and they're not going to stop because that's what they want to do, but they're looking at you. And they're wondering, why aren't you singing like I'm singing? Why aren't you like being really zealous like I'm being really zealous right now? Come on, they're looking at you. Well, maybe the answer is sharing your faith. Maybe the answer is sowing the seed. And the joy that comes from it will result in you singing songs of praise. Remember, Jesus tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The issue has never been the openness of people in this world. That's a given. The issue has always been the number of workers to go out and share about Jesus. There's a guarantee that you will bear fruit. Because the issue is not the openness of others. So ask yourself this question. Are you a voucher sort of person? What do I mean? Do you shop at Tesco's and collect Tesco's points? Do you? Me and my family, we only go for dinner on Tesco's points. My son is nodding over there. I'm sorry, but it's true. He's shaking his head. We go to Pizza Express. We'd never go to Pizza Express, but we go there because Tesco gives us £100 worth of vouchers every so often, and we just go and spend the whole lot at Tesco. At Pizza Express costs us nothing. And guess what I do for days afterwards? I tell everyone how amazing it was. We had this free meal, had this great pizza and puddings and all sorts, and it costs nothing. You've got to go to Tesco and get the Tesco points. I know a family that you probably know too that go to Florida yearly on their Tesco points. And they'll tell you all about it, because it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that they have to share. Maybe you found out that, a new bus route that you think will get your friend from somewhere to somewhere. The other day I was trying to work out how to get Lee from his house to the Guile. And I found the number 2 bus, and I found the bus timetable, and I set the timetable to Lee because I wanted to make it easier. It's just one bus ride, bro. Get on the bus. And so I wanted to make it easier for him to get there. Maybe you found a shortcut, especially with all those tramworks. If you find a shortcut avoiding all the tramworks through the city, you're going to want to tell everyone about it. You're going to, you know, don't be late anymore. Just go this way. The times I don't do that, it's just terrifying. Get stuck in traffic and get frustrated. You know, when we have something great in our lives, we want to share it, don't we? Tesco vouchers or new routes or bus routes or whatever it may be. We want to share it. Whether we're financially able, whether we're lucky financially, we're able to share with others because we want other people to benefit. It's something that we share with other people. Then why does it become so difficult to share the most precious gift that we can share, which is Jesus Christ? Why does it become so difficult when we come to share the thing that can really benefit someone in the long term, for the rest of eternity? We may be concerned about other people's reactions. We may be concerned that people might act weird. They might be your friend one day and then they're going to stop being your friend. They might get angry towards you. They might become standoffish. But we can't let their reactions prevent us from sharing, because what we are offering them is not us. It's God's plan, the Lord of the universe. It's his plan for them. Who cares if they fall out with us? They deserve an opportunity to hear about God's plan for them. We need to remember that even our worst day, even when we do get caught in traffic, even though we do have to pay the bill at Pizza Express, our worst day ever is 1,000 times better than a day without Jesus. You know, we're so lucky that our whole paradigm, everything we think about, just Jesus is top of the pile. Everything we think about is reigning. Got to be a reason for that. That's because you're a Christian, because you got Jesus. It's a tough day today. Got to be a reason for that. That's because Jesus is in your life. This is an amazing, what an amazing blessing having these Tesco vouchers. That's because Jesus is in your life. You see things so differently. I'm fired up by these Tesco Pizza Express vouchers. They changed my life. They're amazing. Every day with Jesus, the weather is perfect. Whether it's raining or whether it's not, the real meaning of the weather is clear to you. The other day, you know, in our house, I don't know about you, but in our house, I've got the digital bug. Every room has got a digital radio in it. So we get the best quality sound for any radio station. So Radio 5 Live, which I know some people listen to here, and that's not an advert. You listen to it on digital radio and you get this clear, wonderful audio and it sounds great. Well, Nicola and I were listening to something in the house on the digital radio, then we got back in the car and she said, well, can we hear that? What was going on in that? Okay, put it on. We've got AM. We're now back to the AM. Remember that? The wireless, the crackling, that you can hardly hear the people. You're going under bridges, under the bridge out the other side, and you can hardly hear the people talking. And she said, what is wrong with this? I said, honey, we haven't got digital radio in the car. We just got it in the house. You know, I think our lives are so amazingly crystal clear. Some people go through through life listening to AM all the time. That's all they have, just coming at them all the time. They don't know, should I go home? And then when I go home, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to go to bed, and then I'm going to come back to work again tomorrow. But I can't wait till Friday. I can get drunk, and then I can wake up with a hangover, and then it's Sunday night, and then I've got work again. And people just go through the rigmarole of life day after day after day. But you see life so differently. You've got something amazing to offer them to change their perception on their lives. You have an amazing gift, a precious knowledge that needs to be shared with others. Remember, it's spiritually immature not to be outward focused. It's imitating Jesus. So what did Paul say? See, because we must consider our motivation. We must consider why we do what we do. For us to overcome the fears of other people's rejection, for us to overcome negative responses, our motivation should come from our core beliefs. That the message is the message that you live in your life, and that it has the utmost impact on your life, and it is of utmost importance to your life. Just have a day. It's not really possible, but try and have a day without Jesus just to see what it's like. And once you've got him, it's like you don't want to do that, right? Because you know how good it is. Paul says, when I preach, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And then in verse 19 of the same chapter, he says, though I am free, I belong to no man. I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Maybe you have been coerced to be outward focused before. Have you? Anybody here been coerced to be outward focused before? Come on, put your hands up. I know I have. We've got to get back to the real motivation for sharing our faith. We've got to get back to the real motivation to be outward focused. So think to yourself, what is it that holds you back? Paul is compelled to preach. What he has is so amazing. He's compelled to share his faith. So much so that he's prepared to make himself a slave to people. Prepared to speak on their language. Prepared to meet them wherever they are at, so that he can best communicate the gospel to them. And then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. What's Paul saying? The motivation is his fear for God, fear of God. He understands that everybody is heading for the end of their life. Everybody. And as we read in Revelation, we know that every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. And our job is just to prepare those knees when they bow before Jesus. That's our responsibility, to prepare them. We have a healthy fear of God. That's why we do what we do, so that we can make it on the last day. You know that. You live your life like this because you want to be okay on that day. Then how selfish is it to see people walk around you all day long who are going to meet that day without meeting the kingdom, and their only interaction with the kingdom may be you that day, to give them a chance when they meet God. A healthy fear of God. Paul understood that all men die and all men will have to give an account for their lives. In verses 14 and 15, for Christ, of 2 Corinthians 5, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. See, Paul also understood this. He understood how much Jesus loves people. He understood that Jesus loved people so much he was willing to die for them. Imagine being the only one that could do that. Imagine the pressure you may feel to be the only one that could do that. But yet, he willingly went to the cross. This understanding of Paul's amazing love for people meant that he would make himself even a slave to give the people a chance to respond. Turn me to John chapter 3. See, I think to be outward focused, we must have a deep conviction that God wants the world to be saved. John 3, verse 16, of course everyone knows this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Understand the nature of God. The nature of God is that he wants all of humanity to have eternal life. And you also understand from this verse the incredible length that God has gone to communicate that love to humanity. Then you want to share that same thing. If you understand the nature of God's heart, if you understand what it is that God wants, then it's sort of contrary to having a relationship with him if we don't actually do what it is that's his real desire. That's his real heart. God wants the world to be saved. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, ask yourself this question: do you yearn for God's heart? 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Can you hear God's heart in that verse? Can you hear God's heart? His desire is that everybody has the opportunity to change. To change the things in their lives that are hurting them spiritually. Change the things that you have made great strides of changing yourself already. And his desire is so great that that happens, that he's patient and he's waiting and he's wanting. Do you yearn for that same heart? To have God's heart is to want and to desire what God wants and desires. And God's heart is that everybody comes to the knowledge of salvation. God wants everyone, everywhere, to have the opportunity to change their lives, and he works patiently towards that goal. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Another conviction I think we need to really understand is that God's kingdom will grow because that is God's desire. And it will grow because God will cause it to grow. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. We read about this amazing parallel that Jesus draws with the kingdom. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First a stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. You know, who's the farmer in this story? That's you and I. But once the farmer has scattered the seed, what does the farmer do? See, Jesus doesn't want you to stay up day and night worrying about how this is going to grow. How am I going to make this seed? How am I going to make that command not to be selfish have an impact on that person's heart? Jesus just doesn't want you to worry about any of that stuff. See, God never sleeps. God is awake 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He doesn't need a break. He doesn't need a holiday. He doesn't need to rest. He's always at work. All you've got to do is scatter the seed. And it will grow while you are sleeping. Go to bed. Now, you might need to pray about that thing that, you know, you may have studied the Bible with someone. It might be worth praying about that opportunity that person has got. But it's God that makes that person grow. It's God that brings that person to fruition. And God that takes the sickle to it. I'm praying that's the end of life, right? That's death. That's a reference to. I hope that the sickle doesn't come before then. But God never sleeps. God's always in the act of helping the kingdom grow. Are we invested with him? Because here's another interesting concept. 1 Corinthians 3. And in many ways, I want this to take the pressure off us. I want us to understand we need to share our faith because we want the same heart as God, the same desire as God. But I think we give ourselves so much pressure when we do that. But actually, it all belongs to God. And you know what? God can handle it. Paul said in Corinthians, I planted the seed, But Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. For each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Paul tells us what our part is, because we do have a part. And that's amazing. That makes us fellow workers with the Lord of the universe. Isn't that amazing? You're a fellow worker with God. He wants you to be part of his team. But he doesn't want you to do more than you can do, more than you can handle, more than you can even possibly do yourself. He wants you just to tell people about him. Get the Bible out with people. Do whatever it takes to get the message out. And then guess what? He'll do the rest. He will make it grow. You see, he gives us a role. He gave Paul and Apollos a role, but then Paul says, but these people that do this are nothing. He's referring to that process of growth. They have very little to do with that. They just hold out the word. And that's what discipling is, isn't it? You just refer back to God's word to help people grow through what we call discipling. It is God's heart that the world would hear of his love and then grow as a result of his love. And if you believe this, you will have this heart too. Turn me to Mark 5:20. I believe one of the classes I preached from this series, we talked about the guy with the demons and how Jesus healed him. And how we read in verse 20, he says, once he's healed him, it says in verse 20 of Mark 5, so the man, after he was healed, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Says, has anybody ever done anything nice for you? Of course I have. Think of that thing. Think of that thing where someone has done something nice for you. Isn't it easy to share about that thing that somebody has done for you with other people? This amazing thing happened to me and my friend did it. My friend made it happen. Has anybody done anything so nice for you that has improved the quality of your life? Like if I told you it was a really good bus route that would avoid loads of hassle, loads of traffic and it was cheap, you'd be telling all your friends as well, right? Because it's a great opportunity for them as well. Has anybody ever done anything for you so amazing that it's changed your life for the better forever? When I became a Christian, my life changed radically through the word. It turned from night to day. And now I have an amazing wife, an amazing family. And so whenever I meet people, one of the first things on my mind, the first thing to talk about is my beautiful wife and my amazing children. Have you got any children? Oh yeah, I've got children. And how old are they? And who are they? And I just tell you all about them, no problem, because they're a gift to me. They're an amazing thing that God has done for me that I would not have had I not become a disciple. This demon-possessed man, he was healed and he couldn't keep quiet about it. But he went to a city, which an area of 10 cities to share what Jesus had done for him, and the people were amazed. Jesus had changed the quality of this man's life forever, and he could not but help tell other people about it. You know, if you're invested in your relationship with God, then the quality of your life will be changing and you'll want to share that with others. It's difficult not to. If your life's not changing, it's difficult to share about things, isn't it? You know, I don't really like the church I go to. It's actually a little bit boring. We meet in the school. It's not that near town. It takes about 15 minutes to walk from the city. But you know what? You might like it. I've been doing this. I've been living this disciple life for 20 years and it doesn't really work for me. This thing is still wrong and I'm this and I don't like that and there's this going on. But it might work for you. It's not going to go over real well, is it? You know, it's really important that you're working on yourself, that you're applying God's principles to yourself so that you're changing. And the amazing thing is, as we read in 1 Peter here very quickly, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, but always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of your slander. If you're close to God, if you've been guided by his word, you will be changing. This passage presupposes that the life of a Christian is so different to the world around that the world around can't help but notice. And the chances are they'll ask you why your life's so different. And even if they don't ask you why your life's so different, you're so fired up about it that you're going to tell them anyway. Do you see why our Christian lives are so important? So why it's so important for us to work in our lives? You know, very quickly, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We decided that we were going to follow him. We're described in Corinthians as Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal for us. Sometimes we talk about cities in Scotland. We think we should send a mission team to Aberdeen, or we should send a mission team to Stirling, or a mission team to Inverness. But the truth is, you're already on God's mission team. You don't need to go to another city to have a mission focus. You're on the mission team right now. It's God's team. You're God's fellow worker. Just think how rapidly the kingdom will grow in the city of Edinburgh if we have this spirit. So very, very quickly, we do have a precious gift. In conclusion, we have an amazing, precious gift to share with others. This may, for you, prompt conversations you need to have in a fellowship, but do have them, because we must desire God's heart. And God wants you to be his fellow worker. He has a plan for you as part of this mission. But don't take on more than you need, because God makes people grow. We are Christ's ambassadors. I hope today has really helped you. Next week, we're going to begin a 3-week series running up to Christmas called Leap for Joy. So be ready to be joyful. Amen. I hope that's helped you.